Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In a previous module, we set up a new virtual machine and then we connected to it using remote desktop protocol. And now I want to show you how to set up network endpoints so that other applications or other users can connect to that virtual machine as well using different tools and different ports. So I'm going to demonstrate in this module a common scenario. As you can see on screen right now, I've already created a new virtual machine that hosts SQL Server. I'll show you how I did that in just a moment. And then what I want to do is ultimately add a new network endpoint here to port 1433 because that's the port that SQL Server Management Studio needs to connect remotely to a remote SQL Server instance. And then I'll finally open up SQL Server Management Studio on my local box and I'll try to remote in via SSMS and create a database and create a table and so on. All right. So I already have that ready, but before we do that, what I want to do is go back to this notion of creating a virtual machine. In the previous module, I showed you how to create a virtual machine using Quick Create, and that was fine for just setting some of the basic properties and immediately creating a new virtual machine without really worrying about any of the other considerations that we listed. For example, availability set, is it going to be part of a virtual network? Where do you want to put it in storage account? Things of that nature. So what I want to do this time is actually create a virtual machine from the gallery and be able to choose a lot of those options right up front, including we can set up endpoints to be configured immediately as it's provisioning the new virtual machine. So let's go ahead and choose from gallery this time. I chose a SQL Server image, and specifically I chose one of the less feature-rich versions, just SQL Server 2014 RTM Web. It has fewer features and less horsepower, I think, than standard and enterprise. I'm not completely up to date on exactly what the differences are, but at any rate, I know that it would suit my needs for a particular application. Let's go ahead and click the next on the wizard, and I'm going to give it a name, my latest SQL box. Hopefully that'll fit. I can choose standard or basic tier. I can choose the size just like I could previously. Now I'm going to need to give it a username for the box to log into it and a password. And go on to the next step of the wizard. And here we have some more options that we can configure. For example, do we want this virtual machine to be deployed into an existing cloud service or into a new cloud service? Now, I haven't talked about cloud services. I said we don't need to know cloud services. Let's not talk about cloud services. I'm going to ignore cloud services for the last three courses in this series. However, virtual machines and cloud services have this interesting connection, this interesting history. And in order to really understand how to configure virtual machines and virtual networks correctly, we can't help but get into cloud services just a tiny bit. I don't want to talk about it right now, but we're going to go ahead and leave it at the default option to create a new cloud service just the way it is. I'm going to choose a region, or I could choose an affinity group that I've already got created. I'm not going to do that here. East US. Now I could choose an existing storage account. Remember, we can let Azure create a brand new storage account, but it's going to create some long, complicated name that really doesn't have any meaning inside of our Azure account. So we could create a new storage account first and then put the virtual hard drives inside of that storage account. I'm not going to do that here. I'm going to let it go ahead and automatically generate a new storage account for us. Also, we talked about availability sets in the previous module, and I said we could create a new availability set for uptime purposes so that if one of our virtual machines goes down, all the traffic gets routed to just the other or several other machines in an availability set. We're going to spend a whole module talking about availability sets. We could assign an availability set right here, or we can create a new availability set right here, but I'm not going to do either. I'm just going to leave the default option none selected. Now, I said all of that to say this. I can go ahead and set up endpoints right here in this fourth step of the Create New Virtual Machine wizard. And for example, I can go ahead and select one of the known protocols and ports. For example, if I want to choose to open up HTTP and HTTPS on 80 and 443, I can do that right here. I can open up FTP on 20 and 21, or in our case, I could select MS SQL, and you see that it opens up port 1433 for us, or it enables that endpoint, I should say. And then I could click the next button to go ahead and create a new virtual machine. I don't want to do that. So let's go ahead and back out of this. Actually, I'll just minimize that. But what I want to do is I want to look at how to go ahead and configure an endpoint for an existing virtual machine that I have. Say, for example, I didn't think ahead of time that I needed SQL Server and I installed it after the fact, or I just wanted to take control of that process in a more granular fashion. Well, in that case, what we can do is come back here to our virtual machines. Here's our list of virtual machines, and here's Bob's SQL machine that I just created and that you saw on screen a moment ago. Then I'm going to go to Endpoints tab at the very top, and I'm going to click Add an Endpoint. Now I could create a standalone endpoint, or I can create an endpoint to an existing load balance set. We'll talk about load balancing, the two options in Azure Load Balancer and the internal load balancer, and we'll talk about load balance sets as well in an upcoming module. But for right now, I'm just going to add a standalone endpoint and click Next. Here I want to choose a name for the endpoint. This is just for my own reference so that when I look, I see, oh yeah, okay, I see that was for that 1443 that I opened up. That was for SQL Server. So I can just here again choose that similar drop-down list box, choose MS SQL. Notice that it goes ahead and fills in the protocol, public port, private port for me. I can go ahead and create a load balance set right from here. I'm just going to go ahead and leave all these options and click OK. And now it's updating the Azure Load Balancer, which we'll talk about later. And it's going to map that port on the IP address for Bob's SQL machine to the endpoint and private port on my virtual machine. So you can see that that's in progress. You can see the little progress bar down here. Okay, and so the endpoint is opened up. We should be good to go, right? So I'm going to go ahead and launch SQL Server Management Studio on my local computer. And let's go ahead and give it the name. I forgot the name of it already. Bob's SQL Machine. I think that's what I called it. Let me check real quick here. Bob's SQL Machine. .cloudapp.net. And I'll give it the login to borrow. And I'll make sure SQL Server authentication is enabled, and I'll go ahead and click Connect, and you'll notice that in a second, it will not allow us to do this. All right, it took about a minute, but it basically says that there was an error while establishing a connection to SQL Server. Server was not found or not accessible. All right, so really what the problem is that we have not created any users that would allow us to log in using SQL Server authentication. So at this point, we can connect in a sense, to the machine, but we try to get into SQL Server, and it says, oh, I don't know who you are. I'm not going to let you in. So let's go ahead and cancel this and go the last mile with this example. And let's go ahead and close that out and open up SQL Server Management Studio here on the client, or rather on the virtual machine. So again, the endpoint's been created and the port is open. However, what we need to do is to, first of all, I was too hasty in shutting down Server Manager. What I actually need to do is to allow traffic on 1433 through the firewall. So that's the first step that we're going to take. So we'll go to Tools, Windows Firewall and Advanced Security. We'll go to Inbound Rules, and we're going to create a new rule. And we're going to do it on a specific port, and then I'm going to select Next. And it's going to be for TCP for port 1433. And click Next. And we're going to select Allow the Connection. And I'll go ahead and leave these rules selected, but you may want to change these to further increase your level of security on the server. And I'm going to call this MS SQL and click Finish. All right, so that's step number one. Now that we've created a rule for our firewall, we should be able to go, close that down, and get back into SQL Server Management Studio. At this point, I want to make sure that I have the correct setting in SQL Server so that it allows connections through TCP IP instead of just name pipes. So I'm going to go to SQL Server Configuration Manager. It's the red icon. And what I want to do is drill down SQL Server Network Configuration, Protocols for MS SQL Server, and TCP IP should be enabled. If it's not, make sure it's enabled by double-clicking it and changing it here on this dialog. Okay, so now that we've made sure that we can indeed accept connections through TCP IP on port 1433 and the firewall is not going to block it, now the next thing that we're going to need to do is go into SQL Server Management Studio. I'm going to right-click Bob's SQL Machine here in the top of the Objects Explorer and select Properties. On the Security tab, I'm going to select that I want to create a new SQL Server and Windows Authentication mode, so mixed mode, and I'm going to click OK. And it says that it needs to reboot SQL Server so that these changes can be made. So I'm going to right-click and select Restart. And yes, I want to restart SQL Server. Okay, so hopefully it's back online now. And the next thing I want to do is go to the Security tab, drill down to Logins, and we're going to create a new login. Just right-click and select New Login. And let's create a login named Bob. And it'll be SQL Server Authentication, so I'm going to create a new password. And I'm going to deselect Enforce Password Expiration and a lot of that stuff. I really don't need it. What I do want to do is go to the server roles, and I want to add DB Creator, and I'm going to click OK. All right, now I should be able to open SQL Server Management Studio locally here, if I did everything right. And let's go to Bob's SQL Machine and log in with the username Bob and type in the password, click connect. All right, and let me go ahead and resize this window so you can see it. All right, and you can see that we are in. So I can go here to databases, and what I want to do is create a new database, and we'll just call this customers, and click OK. Now, I might want to change where these are saved. I may not want them on the C drive. I won't want them on the D drive. I might want to put the SQL database on a virtual hard drive that we add, that we connect to the virtual machine, which we'll demonstrate how to do later. All right, so customers, let's go ahead and create a new table. Well, let's drill in and right-click tables and click new table. And we'll call this, salesman ID, make it int. And let me resize one more time. All right, and I want to make this just an identity, yes. And I want to make this a key, and then I'll put salesman name, and just make that an n-var char 30 or something like that. Yeah, 50 is fine. and no nulls, and I should be able to now save that, and we're going to call this a salesman. Click OK. And let's go ahead and just even add, edit the top 200 rows. And I'll put Bob Tabor here. And that should have created a new row in the database. So let me go ahead and close down my local. And now let me go to databases here out on the virtual machine up in Azure. And I'll go ahead and select refresh. You can see it sees the customer's database, sees the salesman table. If I right-click and select edit the top 200 rows, it's going to show me Bob Tabor with an ID of 1, hopefully. And it does. Awesome. Okay, so you can see pretty much the process. First of all, I had to add an endpoint. And then on the machine, I may have some extra configuration to do. In my case, I had to open up a firewall, make a firewall rule for it, and then tell SQL Server that we're going to create a new user. So a lot of this was superfluous to really the purpose of this module, which was to show you how to create an endpoint. But I thought that this case was so common that you probably want to see all the steps involved. All right, so we're going to keep moving on in the next module. We'll see you there.